Today's Mishnah, Masechet Bachshirin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Perek Vav Mishnah Hei. So we've been talking about, yesterday, the various mashkin and the idea of Yad, Dam, Shachat, the Ramazim and the Torah, in which each one of these are called a mashkin, Ala Eretz Tishpachenu Kamayim, which compares now Dam to Mayim, the Kochim, or Dam Chalonim Yishteh, which is Dam Yishteh, comparing it to Mayim Ferchulin, and all of the other different Mashkim are found in the Torah being referred to. That's a Pashtas is a reference to a Pasuk, but it's really an Asmach. The nature of the Mashkim, as the Rabbah explains, is any liquid that is not called by another name. It doesn't have a shem levi. So if it's like honey that you have to say is wasp honey, then it's not honey, even if it may be physically the same as bee honey. So the dvash dvorim, it doesn't have a shem levi because stam dvash is dvash dvorim. So now let's talk about toldot of mashkin. Because we have things that are essentially water, but that have taken on other elements because the body may secrete other things and mix them with the water. But essentially, it's really water. So let's say, if you want to call water, and now you've got tears. Those tears are essentially water, to which salt and various minerals have been added that are able to maintain the proper pH and mineral distribution to the eye. But it's essentially water with additions. So any type of body fluid like that. So you can have hayotzi mina ayin, mina ozen, mina chotem, mina peh. So you've got all kinds of things. You've got tears, you've got mucus, you've got saliva. You could have meraglaim, you could have urine, you could even have bein gedolim, bein ketanim, we call it a meraglaim, even if it's like a diarrhea, would essentially be water with waste added. And this is actually the type of thing that is by definition kosher without, I mean, the person may not want the diarrhea, obviously, but they all cause heksher. Because something which is in and of itself, a thing that is kosher, meant for Adam, remember the whole point of the rotzayim that is turns something which is kiyutan dumila kiyitain, which requires that element of rotzayin, is because that's what makes it human. And the aspect of its being a human thing is the equivalent of this having a kli. You can have something which you find on Mars that looks exactly like a type of kli that was fashioned by humans. It's not a kli. The same thing is true in terms of foods. If this is not something that is a human food, what makes a human food? A human washed it. But you can have things that are made, l'chatchila, for humans. And these mashkin don't require your das. They are chashev as being yours. And that's as far as water. How about blood? Well, blood would include the dam of the shechita, of a behima, of a chaya, of ofot, and that's learned directly from al-arz tishpachenu kamayim, referring to dam kochim. Fine, but that all is about taharim, because that's where the pasuk applies. I mean, as far as it's not being tahar, so then the dam is not a dam for humans. Or if you have a dam hakazal shtiyah, if you let blood from an animal, from a human, in order to give it to an animal. So over there, if it's done to drink, so let's say you're friendly with a vampire and you want to be make his dam to give my friend the vampire a little bit of blood. So
L'chaim, l'chaim.
L'chaim. So that dam is considered to be lishtia, and therefore it's l'rotzai, and it can make heksher. What about milk? Well, whey. Whey is considered to be milk because it's the water and the various products that are left over when you separate out the fats from the milk. So that's milk. How about olive oil? Now, remember we had the whole discussion about mochal. So the mochal is like a liquidy. It's not oil, but it's the liquid that just sort of oozes from olives without pressing. So mochal is like shemen, says the Tanakhama, with Rabbi Shimon, but only because there's always little bits of oil that actually come out together with the mochal. But otherwise, the mochal would be like, you know, sort of the lymph system of the olive. But since it always contains a little bit of oil, so because of that, it's always going to be makshir. But the mochal itself, if you were able to just have pure mochal, that would not actually be makshir. So says Rabbi Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Meir Omer, it has nothing to do with that. Mochal itself is a type of oil. It's true that it's nowhere near as vicus and has the elements of oil as full olive oil, but nonetheless, it's called Shemen of Messiah. Now let's talk about an interesting din about dam, which is the dam of Asheretz, which is very unique because the dam of Asheretz is actually metame with the shear of a ka'adasha, which is mamish unique. When normally we need a revius to actually be metame, or, you know, this is the machlokas, how much is needed in terms of literally being metame, being makshir. Okay, so there's no case that is like this because the dam, even though it's metame, exactly the way the buser is metame, but it does not cause heksher. It's considered to be buser. And therefore, it is metame literally with the shear of a kadasha. We have nothing that is similar to this. In lana kiyotzebo, because what is necessary for tuma, even though it's a liquid, is the same as what's necessary for the tumah of the basar of the sheretz. What's more, it's even mashlim, the shear of the basar, because it's the same shear, and therefore it's considered to be osir for achila and chayiv in the shear of a kadasha, which is tiny. Masha'in came, everything else requires its particular shear. Revias adam from a mace is metame, but the basar of an adam is not measured by a revias, it's measured by a kizayin. So this is the one case where we have the liquid and the solid being exactly the same, both in terms of the iser and in terms of its status. And therefore, it's also not makshir, even though it's metame. We have a hand up from a handy.
Yeah, they left out the blood of fish. What would that be?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Dam dagim.
Oh, did I skip it?
Was it dead?
Why do I always do that?
No, he's asking why it's not discussed. I thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that when Mishnah talked about it, I didn't see it because I always skip that. Right. Okay, so that we learned the Gemara in Chulin, that it does not have a din of dam at all. Mishnah, Perks, Vav, Mishnah, Vav. Ve'elu mitam'im umakshirim at the same time. So something which is a liquid that is also tame They are not only makshir, but they do it all at once, and there's no din of larotza, because these are things that are choshev because of their human source and because of the fact that these are the mashkim that are the ma'ayanot. So let's say you have a zov, where the zov of the zov, so that's the discharge, the spit of a zov, the shikva zera of a zov, the urine of a zov, and a revius of dam from a mace, and dam from a nida, these are all metame, and they're makshir, the thing that they're metame, at the same time. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says, no, shikva zera ena maksheret, semen itself is not going to be makshir, even though it's metame, something that is mukshir. Why? Like we said all along, the mashkin are only mashkin if they're simply referred to as a mashkin. But shikva zera is always separated into shikvas zera, which means that we refer to a shikva that contains sperm. But that means that it always has a shem levi. What's the name of shikva zera that can be said without a shem levi? We don't have a word for semen. We only have a word that's called shikva. Semen is the shikva, but we don't just have plain shikva. So we have shikva zera, and therefore you can't call that a mashkin, because that was the main klal that we said. Any shem levi means it's not a mashkin. So that's Rebbe Eliezer shita, and that's those who are chaylik would be chaylik, because that's shmo, like zevach hashlamim, shikva zera. It's not considered to be a shame with a shame levi. Rebbe Elazar ben Azari omer, dam hanida eno makshir. Rebbe Shimon omer, dam hamet eno makshir. Because the Torah only talked about dam chalalim. Chalalim means a person was murdered, that there was an actual cut, not a dead body, and now there's blood in a dead body that died naturally or through choking, whatever, that is not considered to be dam chalalim. And because of that, the whole mocker that we had was the dam chalalim yishteh, so then this is not dam chalalim. So mate, when it says mate, it doesn't mean a corpse. It means of someone who died. So if you have any of that dam that falls on a dilat, so that, let's say, this is Halloween. You want to really make Halloween look scary, so you put blood on your pumpkins. Well, there's no problem. If you murdered the neighbor and put the blood on the pumpkin, then the pumpkin would be muksha, because that's dam chalalim. But if you just took dam from a mate and it falls on the pumpkin, so then you can just wipe it off, and it would be tahar, meaning it's not muksha l'kapel tuma. And even if it's touched, it remains tahar. Okay. We could go on. I think we still have time to go on, but I don't want to get into a long mishnayos. Is that right? Let's take a look. Now, after giving me a long list of things that are considered to be both mash and metame, we want to learn about things that you would think are makshir and metame. Actually, there's certain things that are not makshir and not metame. Even though we're talking about human fluids, they're not considered to be mashkin. So, elu lo metamim velo makshirim.
Mishnah Zayin.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe
should
just say it.
Mishnah Zayin. So elu lo metamim velo makshirim. First of all, which we had way back in the second parak, any type of zeah we learned before, sweat is not metame. We got into the question of whether zeah that comes from mayim is makshir and things like that. But human sweat is not considered to be water. And lecha srucha v'harei v'adam hayotzei imayim. So if you've got an infection, human has an infection, and it's now, there's pus coming out, and other types of, you know, lymph and filth that was all dead cells, essentially, or any blood that's coming out together with bursting that cyst and the infectious material that was there, that's not considered to be any type of marsh, liquid at all. It's not dam, and therefore it's not going to be marsh. And remember that in the Gemara, ben shmone, so if you have a pregnancy which was meant to be a nine-month pregnancy and not a ben sheva, but it's meant to be a ben tesha, and it was delivered in the eighth month. Now, in those days, a baby delivered in the eighth month did not survive. We've already seen that there are differences, very major differences in gestation of humans over the course of time, because we have so much edus about the different levels of pregnancy at that time. It seems that really the gestation was different. But in any event, in those times, a ben shmona is not alive. It's exhibiting signs of life in the same way that a lizard exhibits signs of life when it's clearly, its tail is cut off. That tail's not alive. Same thing was true of the baby, and therefore the mashkin of that baby is considered to be not human mashkin. But because of that, it doesn't have the din of dam talalim or any of these other mashkin. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's true about other liquids. So its urine wouldn't be mashkin. But its dam is considered to be mashkin, because it's true that its goof is not a human goof yet. It's a nafel. But the blood is considered to be like, it's dead, like anybody else that was dead. Unless you're old, you need dafke dam chalom. But if you don't agree with that shita, then blood from a premature infant would be metamic. Now, suppose somebody is going for one of those awful colonoscopies, and he's got to drink stuff that's going to empty out his intestines from everything. And now all that's left inside is clear water, you know? So in those days, when you had to go for a colonoscopy, what did you do? You drank the water from the Chamei Tveria. Chamei Tveria was a very powerful laxative. So someone drank Mei Tveria, and now he's checking his stools. Nothing is coming out except clear water. What goes in comes out, completely clear. Afa pishiyotzin nikiyim. So it means that you'd think, oh, so what came in comes out. Not true. It's not considered to be mayim anymore, and it's not considered to be an excretion either, because that's only if it's created by the body together with feces. But this is something that is not considered to be rei, and it's not considered to be a urine, and it's not considered to be the water that you drank. And therefore, it is not considered to be anything but pure solid feces, which are not metame. Dam shchita babeima b'chaya uv'ofot hatmeim. Now remember that the ala aretz yishbechenu kamayim, which was the place that we learned out that dam is considered to be the equivalent of mayim, and therefore it's machshir the way mayim is machshir. That is only said by the shchita of animals that are tohar, which is what the pasuk was referring to. But what about if you shecht a behem or a chaya or an oaf, which is tamei? That also is not considered to be hechsher. Dam hakaza lirfuah. So suppose you let dam, and in those days they used to let dam for refuah. So it's still actually there's still basis to be bloodletting in cases of high blood pressure and so on. That, but anyway, most people ignore that whole issue. So since he doesn't want that dam, he's not collecting this dam in order to donate it to a blood bank. He simply wants to get rid of this dam, and therefore it's not considered to be Machshir LeKabel Tuma, because it's not Lerotzai. Before, when we were talking about a vampire, or we were talking about, obviously, a regular human being who's not a vampire, but he needs your blood because he's having a blood transfusion. So that's different. There it's certainly Lerotzai. But Rebbe Elazar is metaming even the dam that we talked about of Shritas Tneim, and even dam that is just to throw out the dam and you have extra dam. He holds that by definition, that is called a chosh of a mashka, and it is actually makshir, and it's actually the kabel tuma. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, this I think all of us males should go on to a Me Too and protest this, that any male milk is tahor. So this obviously is caused by female hormones that are not offset by level of testosterone, and male mammary glands are exactly the same as female mammary glands. And therefore, if a male is lactating, that milk is not considered to be chalav, because it's always identified as chalav hazakar, and because of that, it doesn't have a shame of the mashka of just chalav without a shame levaya, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, tomorrow we'll talk about the issues of chalav ha'isha versus the chalav ha'beima, but the chalav hazakar is not considered to be chalav. What was the name of that wonderful doctor that we used to have in the Bafiomi? There was an artist in the old city. He told us about the male lactation. You remember his name? My name? He put out that whole beautiful
Tehillim, of a picture for each Tehillim.
Yeah.
Such a special person.
He had such an amazing experience. After the war, he was on this boat.
Moshe Berger.
What's his name?
Moshe Halevi Berger.
Moshe Berger, right. Yeah. So he said that the men on the boat of the people that had been released from the camps, many of them were lactating and were able to give milk to babies that had been born where the women were so undernourished they weren't able to feed their babies. And it turns out that testosterone requires a greater level of general recovery and nourishment, and therefore all that these men were actually being exposed to were female hormones, and therefore they were all lactating, and many of them were lactating, and they literally were able to feed the children. They're quite amazing. Okay, anyway, you have a picture of his, Moshe Andel? What was the picture? Moshe Andel just shared a picture of Moshe Berger. So once we're Zocha to remember him, remember his pictures as well. Okay, Rabbi Sakotil, thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you again. What happened to your Shmirah duties over there, Lion Cub?
I'm finished now, Rebbe, but I'm just trying to get my head around somebody that would take out their blood and throw it away. What kind of crazy person would do something like that, you know?
You mean nowadays we all are friends with vampires?
Ah, exactly.
Right. Okay, cult of...